Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Again, the name of this program is Today's Issues. I'm Tim Wildman. Joining me to co-host today is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Good.
You guys, your hockey teams are playing now, is that right?
Hockey has resumed.
It was in August.
Usually the season has ended now.
Oh, yeah, it's over in June.
Yeah, the Stanley Cup playoffs, but they're playing now.
Yeah, that totally unorthodox way things are right now. 24 teams, and they're in isolation, the teams in hotels in Toronto and Edmonton. I mean, they're not allowed to move outside of
all the NHL teams?
The teams that are involved.
They're in the playoffs.
That are in the playoffs.
How many are there?
24.
24.
24 playoff teams.
Yeah.
So who didn't make it? Good night.
Now that is higher than normal.
Yes.
And the reason they're doing that is because
money.
When the season was postponed,
yeah,
there were a number of teams that were close enough to playoff spots, but because they didn't finish out the regular season, they expanded it to give them a legitimate shot at trying to make the kind of like the final 16.
Okay. So that
you don't really care, though, do you?
Well, I'm just thinking that sounds like to me it's they didn't want to hurt their feelings. So they just threw everybody in there. Playoffs. How about that? All right. A lot to talk about today. If you'd like to join us on the internet, Facebook or YouTube is the place to go right now. Facebook or YouTube, just type in Today's Issues. You can watch the show live there. We do podcast as well for Today's Issues on our American Family Radio website. Podcast. We got something going on as we normally do this week every year, don't we, Ed?
Yeah, absolutely. National Truth for Youth Bible Week. I love this week on American Family Radio. I know a lot of our listeners do. This is a week where we partner with Revival Fires International to give away free Bibles to teenagers. That's right. I said free. Now, what Revival Fires, the ingenious method of getting the Word of God out there is to ask Christian teenagers to give away a free Bible. So the free Bible is to a Christian teen, and then they pray and decide and ask God to show them someone to give this free Bible to. And so Revival Fires International giving one free Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 through 18 who promises to pass it along to a friend this school year. Now, the Truth for Youth Bible has the entire New Testament and full color comics that present the gospel and moral truths dealing with all kinds of issues that kids deal with. And the comics are very well done and very well received. And what a lot of these kids do is they start reading the comics, which are short comic stories about maybe casual sex or drugs or any of those kinds of issues. And so they'll start reading those comics. There are Bible references and Bible truths. And then they just kind of keep on going, and they keep reading the New Testament. And so more than 25,000 young people over the last 20 years have received Christ. And those are the ones who actually write back to evangelist Tim Todd and let them know that they gave their heart to Christ. So, two ways to order the free Bible. I know that's what you're looking for. Two ways to order this free Bible. You can visit truthforyouth.com, and you can order online anytime, truthforyouth.com, or you can call this number between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central Time. Get a pen out. Here's the number to call to get your free Truth for Youth Bible to your student or grandkid who promises to give it away. Here's the number, 800-733-4737. That number again, 800-733-4737. And Tim, last year, we gave away in conjunction, American Family Radio with Truth for Youth, Revival Fires International, we topped the 1 million Bible mark. We're trying to go 65,000 giveaways this year. Last year, we went over 1 million, which was incredible. So,
all right, we'll be talking about this all week, and we're very excited to participate and get the Word of God into the hands of teenagers all across America, and especially those who don't know the Lord.
Amen. And we are going to, I think, tomorrow have, Brent, do you know when we're having Tim Todd on?
Wednesday.
Wednesday here on today's issues. And if you've never heard a Louisiana evangelist, you'll hear one on Wednesday, Tim Todd. So we love that brother. He is full of fire and the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need in this country. We desperately need it. And don't get me preaching. So.
Okay, we won't.
All right.
Fred Jackson. Good morning, yes, Fred. Sir. Go ahead.
Good morning.
What's leading the news this morning?
Well, I'll tell you what, Tim and Ed, over the last several weeks, we've been reporting what's been going on in some of the major cities, Democrat-controlled cities in this country. I'm talking about cities like New York and Portland and Minneapolis. And in each of those cities, Democrat leaders talking about defunding or totally getting rid, in the case of Minneapolis, their police departments. Well, I'll tell you what. The results of that, we are seeing every weekend. New York City, shootings this year, topping 777. That's more than all the shootings in New York City all of last year. In Portland, Oregon, records the deadliest month in 30 years, the month of July. And in Minneapolis, now here's how bad things are in Minneapolis. You've got the police department going out and warning residents, if you're attacked by someone, take some precautions. Keep as little money in your wallet, your purse as possible. Give up your cell phone, your purse, your wallet, whatever the case may be, to protect yourself. Now, the elements of this story are basically this. You've got Democrat-controlled cities turning on their police departments in the midst of the chaos, the Black Lives Matter protests, and then wanting to defund the police, blaming the police for what's going on in their cities. And I'll tell you what, when you talk about, you know, use the phrase, reap what you sow, that's what's happening. One other point, in Minneapolis, Portland. I want you to listen to this, folks, very, very carefully. In Portland, Oregon, there was a case this weekend of rioters, mobs. They were burning Bibles. This is the kind, these aren't, you know, the picture that you get from CNN and NBC is that, oh, these are peaceful protesters, you know, they're just out there, they're upset about police violence. No, this is not the case. I hope our listeners, I hope most of America is starting to understand. This goes way beyond George Floyd. That was, I think, by many accounts, a kind of a door that was used by these domestic terrorists to get their real agenda, which is to transform this country into a far, far left socialist control country.
You know, what's interesting is that secularists and, in this case, far left Marxists, I don't know, a Marxist is far left. They're always denying the link between Christianity and the founding of this nation. Mm. Okay. So while they are burning American flags and calling for the overthrow of basically the institutions of this country and including the Constitution, why would they burn Bibles? No. They're burning Bibles because they know the truth, which is the link between the Judeo-Christian worldview and the founding of this country. I'm not saying that the founding of this country had nothing to do with gold. You know, that's, there were people who came to this country seeking prosperity. But in terms of the establishment, the foundational principles, it was all Bible-based. And that's why these people who hate the Constitution and hate the flag and hate our country are burning Bibles, is because ultimately they know the tie between Christianity.
Yeah, why aren't they burning the Quran?
Mm. Right.
Why aren't they burning other books, other religious books, other? Why they choose the Bible and the American flag to burn on the streets of Portland? I did see that. That reminded me of the pictures from Germany, Nazi Germany, when they had the book burnings over there to get rid of anything that was, outside the message of the Führer or the Nazi party.
Yeah, and the thing about burning books, even with the Nazis, they weren't pretending that they had all the books that they hated
right.
in one place and burning them. They were sending a message. They were sending a message. These books we disapprove of. That's why we're burning them. We better not catch you with them. So that's part of the message that comes from burning the Bible and burning Bibles here in Portland is this is our enemy. Now, listen, folks, for those of you out who are listening who may not know God, may not be a Christian, I want to tell you, God has a lot of patience. He really does. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of patience with this country, but I don't know why you would want to raise a fist of defiance in the face of God. This patient God spares our lives, and why demonstrate this kind of hostility? You're asking for it, but I will tell you this, God is very patient, but you shouldn't take advantage of that. You should take advantage of the offer of pardon that comes through the blood of Christ, forgiveness. And so, listen, we know there are a lot of people who are angry at God and angry at Christianity, but He is your only real friend. So, again, I'm trying not to preach. I really am, Tim.
That's a good message there. No, you need to preach that one. Mm-hmm. I'll be the judge of what you need to preach.
Okay.
But I'm not going to judge you.
Yes, well, that's right. Thank you.
As our friend Dr. Frank Turek says, it's really not judging we have a problem with. It's judging negatively.
Yes.
If one judges positively, then that's fine, right?
Yeah, no one complains if you say to someone, hey, man, nice jacket. They don't say, don't judge me.
No, or, but if you say, that's an ugly jacket, they say, don't judge me.
Right. You'll say someone got a beautiful three-point shot, and you say, man, what a perfect shot. Nobody says, wow, you're judgmental.
Right. Even though you're judging.
You're judging. You're making a judgment. No, that's a great one from Frank Turek.
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Next story, Fred.
Well, it's along the same line, but the dateline on this one is out of Louisville, Kentucky. And the story is on Fox this morning if you want to read it for yourself. But just to draw attention, because it goes with what we've been talking about, that the protests that you're seeing have very little to do with the very few incidents of police officers behaving badly, all right? In this case, the story this morning, and actually they quote the Louisville Courier-Journal, where some Cuban business owners who say they have been supporting the broader protests, the peaceful protests, they have, according to the newspaper, they have been getting letters, apparently from Black Lives Matter, the organization. They've been getting letters from the leaders of the BLM. And these letters are basically, it's like a mafia shakedown, mafia tactics. That's a quotation being used. And what it is extortion. They're saying, unless you hire a certain percentage of Black people on your staff, you better watch out. Those kinds of threats. These are letters going to Cuban business people who have some sympathy for the underlying protest. And these letters apparently are coming from Black Lives Matter leaders who we know have Marxist backgrounds. And they are carrying out extortion in these letters against these Cuban business people.
Yeah, and one of the people that was interviewed in a Fox News story about this happening in Louisville is Louisville, right?
Louisville.
Was a Cuban businessman who came over to this country and was 18 years old on a raft to get away from this kind of stuff, starts a business and is successful, and now he's being threatened and bullied by Black Lives Matter. They are demanding that they purchase a minimum of 23% of their inventory from black retailers or make a recurring monthly donation to a local black nonprofit or organization, display a visible sign that increases awareness and shows support for the reparations movement. And so this is a squeeze that's being put on in Louisville on non-black owned business owners. And it is just like mafia extortion. And I hate to use the phrase mafia because, you know, joke around about my Italian heritage, but the mafia and other organized criminal elements that have always existed and exist now, they're just a bunch of thugs and murderers, and they come in all sizes, shapes, and ethnicities, and now we've got apparently Black Lives Matter following suit. So watch your back, America.
Brad, go ahead.
Yeah, we need to be praying for folks that live in these big cities. I tell you what, when you see the pictures coming out of there, and you know, I was talking to a neighbor friend of ours, and he was saying, if you go to other media, you know, there's still a lot of Americans who don't know what's going on in these cities because there are networks that will not show the protests and the violence. They will not show that.
Well, it reflects poorly on Democrats because they control all these big cities and have for decades. And, you know, their policies, now they're into defunding the police. The old expression, well, let's see how that one works out for you.
Hey, can I mention enough, this is from the Courier-Journal, some of the repercussions for noncompliance that these businesses
were told. Okay, this is in Louisville, Kentucky.
This is in Louisville, Kentucky.
This is from their newspaper.
And if they didn't do the things we were talking about, and there's more, there would be notification via all social media platforms of the noncompliance of this business. They would be publicly boycotted. That'd be coordinated through social media and mail announcements and any other business ventures owned by the business owner. There would be visible media-covered demonstrations and sit-ins outside your establishment. And invasive reclamation is what they call it. Placement of booths and tables outside your business where competing black proprietors will offer items comparable to those offered by you. So this is thuggery at its worst.
Who's issuing these threats? This shakedown? Who's?
Well, this is
usually Al Sharpton.
No, this
but
is.
He's not involved here.
No, as far as I know, it's got nothing to do with Al Sharpton. I'm looking for the. It's Black Lives Matter protesters
in Louisville.
In Louisville.
So what you're saying? They've sent letters to how many companies?
Dozens of business owners in the downtown Louisville district. They received so all of them in this downtown district. I think they call it New Lou. They all received these, and those are the threats. Basically, we're going to strangle your business. I mean, who's going to go into a business owned by one of these Cuban businessmen?
Why are they picking on the Cubans?
I think it's just that they are the business owners in that section of the city. I guess they, you know, when they came over.
It seems to me to be intolerant and picking on the Cubans. Like, that's discrimination.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to Nancy Pelosi today. I wonder if she'd say, well, people are going to do what people are going to do.
Yes, she would say that. She probably would say that.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi would. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. By the way, did you see Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, says she does not trust Dr. Birx? To speak on the coronavirus.
We have Nancy Pelosi in her own words. Cut number 7.
I think the president is spreading disinformation about the virus, and she is his appointee. So I don't have confidence there, no.
So there you go.
He's spreading disinformation, that is the president, and she's the conduit for doing that.
Yeah.
You know, for Nancy Pelosi to attack a woman doctor in such a way, while not attacking the male doctor,
Anthony Fauci,
says to me she has latent sexism. that's buried in there that she needs to deal with.
Right.
Talking about Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah. Why does she pick on the woman doctor?
That's what my question is. Why does she pick on the woman doctor? You know what? What kind of disinformation? I wish she would give three or four examples here. What kind of disinformation is the president giving to America that Dr. Birx is covering for him?
Right.
For. Did she give an example in that interview? A couple of examples?
No.
Fred?
No. No.
So the real thing is that, and now Tim, you're kidding about the woman doctor thing, but she basically said, listen, Brent, play that cut again. And before you do, listen to the only thing she really says. If I'm not mistaken, she's saying because she works with the president, that's enough to disqualify her.
I think the president is spreading disinformation about the virus, and she is his appointee. So I don't have confidence there, no.
See, she's his appointee. We hate Trump, so therefore she's not trustworthy.
She just smeared the woman.
Yeah.
Basically, she just smeared her
She didn't smear Fauci.
No.
They're saying the same thing.
This is very interesting.
Yeah.
Dr. Birx responded to that accusation from Nancy Pelosi, cut number 8.
I have never been called Pollyannish or non-scientific or non-data driven. And I will stake my 40-year career on those fundamental principles of utilizing data to really implement better programs to save more lives.
Unlike Dr. Fauci, who has changed his mind on masks, who now thinks you should be wearing shields over your eyes. He never talked about that long. Dr. Birx has been very consistent. And her point in that interview with Dana Bash at CNN, she follows the science. She looks at data. That's what she looks at. And when she sees an area of trouble, she'll tell the president, we've got a problem in this particular area. I've never seen her vary from what the stats, what the data is showing. But Nancy Pelosi is not interested in the data. She's interested and she believes that Dr. Fauci is a political enemy of the president. Therefore, she's okay with Fauci.
Yeah, I just think that was totally, completely unfair to characterize Dr. Birx in that way.
You
have no evidence for it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem if the speaker, Nancy Pelosi, had said, well, Dr. Birx says this. I've been speaking with other professionals in this field. They say this, so I disagree with her. But that's not what she said. She said she is President Trump's appointee. Therefore, I don't have confidence in her.
Right. Therefore, she's spreading misinformation,
right,
like the president is.
Yes.
And again, please cite for me at least two examples of misinformation. What is it? I'm just thinking to myself. What would it benefit the president of the United States to intentionally spread misinformation about COVID? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What would that benefit him?
Right.
To do that. That's what she's saying.
If you say, well, that hydroxychloroquine thing you've been pushing, okay, but there are plenty of there are studies in Europe. I mean, at least say there's a disagreement amongst the experts in the field about it. I mean, at least say that.
And the president's never claimed that I'm aware of absolute.
Right.
He's just saying, hey, this is working for a lot of people. A lot of people attest to it. That's not saying,
that it cures it for everybody.
No, no. But the Democrats are the ones.
It's all out war for them.
Yeah. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Frank Turek.
He wrote 3 books. The most recent has one of the best subtitles I've ever heard. Here's the title, Letters to a Young Progressive. Here's the subtitle, How to Avoid Wasting Your Life Protesting Things You Don't Understand.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
It's Truth for Youth Bible Week. Thousands of young people have received Christ as a result of this project over the years. Let's get God's Word into the hands of thousands more this school year.
One day he was taking his lunch to the conveyor belt, and I knocked his tray out of his hand. And instead of getting mad, he turned around and told me that Jesus loved me and gave me a Truth for Youth Bible.
Especially now, in these times of change and trouble, students need to be grounded in the truth. Here's Tim Todd.
We're taking our nation back through the young people in America.
Revival Fires International is giving one free Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 and 18 who promises to pass it along to a friend this school year. Visit truthforyouth.com or call 800-733-4737. That's truthforyouth.com or call 800-733-4737.
The Truth for Youth changed my life, and I'm really glad I got one of those.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text #250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Chris Marquis lost both of his legs to diabetes, but he hasn't let his medical issues stand in the way of living life. That's why he jumped out of an airplane over West Addison, Vermont the other day, skydiving from 10,000 feet. It was a fairly uneventful trip until the landing. That's when Chris realized he was missing one of his prosthetic legs. It had blown off during the jump, a $20,000 leg now missing. So Chris went on Facebook and shared his dilemma. About 100 people turned out to search around the landing zone, and the following day, a farmer found the leg in the middle of a soybean field. A terrific story about humanity in the corona crisis. It's nice to know there are still folks out there across the fruited plain willing to lend a helping hand to get a guy back up on his feet. Be sure to listen to my national show, noon to 3 Eastern, on the radio and online at toddstarnes.com.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. If you'd like to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Again, this is Truth for Youth Bible Week, which we do annually, and are we over a million Bibles handed out since we started this?
Last year we went over a million.
Okay, what was that, 15? How long have we been doing this now, since what year?
I want to say 20 years. It's been that long. I think it's 20 years.
Annually, we do it in the 1st of August because that's typically when school starts back across the country.
Yeah.
You want to tell folks what we're offering again?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this is National Truth for Youth Bible Week. And folks, we do a lot of things here at American Family Radio and American Family Association to get you informed and equipped and activated in the culture war. But you know what? This is a Christian ministry, first and foremost. We understand the power of the gospel, and we know that only God can truly save a nation, okay? We've said that, we say that till we're blue in the face, so nobody misunderstands what we're doing. We want to be active in politics and culture, but we understand the importance of the Great Commission. So to that end, National Truth Youth Bible Week, it is American Family Radio partnering with Revival Fires International, evangelist Tim Todd. His vision is to get these copies of the New Testament into the hands of unsaved young people in schools. And the best open door we have are Christian young people to hand the Bible to a friend or to a classmate or to someone in the school, someone maybe they've been praying for. And these New Testaments from Revival Fires Ministries consist of the entire New Testament and also full-color comics. Very well done. I've seen them read through them over the years. They change them up a little bit each year. And these present the gospel and moral truths regarding issues that young people are facing and dealing with. And what happens for a lot of these young people is they just keep reading into the New Testament. And lots of young people get saved and become Christians because of this. So, Revival Fires International is giving one free Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 and 18 who promised to pass it along to a friend this school year. To get that free Bible, by the way, parents can order the Bible on behalf of their son or daughter or grandkids. Teens can call to get one. You can also order large quantities of the Bible for just $2 each. Sometimes people will get a whole case of these and just make sure that kids give them away left and right. Here are two ways for you to order the free Bible. You can go to this website, truthforyouth.com, and you can order online anytime, truthforyouth.com, or you can call this number between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central this week, Monday through Friday. Here's the phone number, 800-733-4737. That number is 800-733-4737. Folks, if you're a Christian, you know the power of the Word of God. Let's get it into the hands of as many young people as possible and give opportunity for the Holy Spirit to do His work in the lives of these young people. Young people, old people, doesn't matter. We desperately need the Lord in this hour.
Fred?
Yes, sir. Well, you know, Tim and Ed, we're just 91 days away from Election Day, November 3rd. And one of the big questions right now, will there be debates? Now, there's three debates scheduled. But is Joe Biden, I think the president's ready to debate, but there's a big question about whether Joe Biden is ready to debate. And former Clinton press secretary Joe Lockhart on CNN on the weekend, he's advising that Joe Biden not debate the president, but he has an interesting reason for that. Cut number one.
The debates are very different. This is the one thing, you know, now that we're not really going to have conventions where the public will tune in, you know, 50, 60 million people. And they will see all of this nonsense from him. He will take the truth and destroy it. And Biden will be in the position of correcting him over and over and over again. I don't think he should give him that platform.
I am skeptical as to whether Joe Lockhart is being honest in that statement. I think Democrats are more worried about Biden falling apart live before the nation in a debate situation rather than being concerned as to whether President Trump is, as Lockhart was saying, telling the truth.
Yeah, this guy acts like Biden is a paragon of truth and nobleness and has a career that is above reproach. If we want to start going down through lies for a career public misinformation, lies, half truths, Joe Biden can hang with the best of them. Huh? Especially over four decades. So for this guy to act like, you know, Joe Biden will be having to call Donald Trump out over and over again on mistruths and disinformation and lies, so he shouldn't even get on the same stage because that would be pointless, or that'd be exhausting, you know. Anyway, if you want to say all politicians lie, okay, but for him to act like one Joe Biden in a debate situation would just be having to correct. First of all, Joe Biden is not going to be able to handle that mentally. All right, Joe Biden's not going to be able to say, "Well, stop right there, Donald Trump. I need to correct you on something right there." By the way, a lot of politics, especially in debates, are not necessarily lies or misinformation. They're how you look at a topic,
right?
And they're nuanced, and the facts may support one way or another. It's how you view a lot of it. I'm not saying there aren't facts, FACTS, that can be misrepresented or not understood. But I'm saying a lot of issues, you would say, well, you did this, this led to this action, this had this public policy, Well, the Democrats might say, or the liberal media might say, see there, you it didn't lead to that, and therefore you lied. Anyway,
yes.
You understand how that works?
Yeah, this is Joe Lockhart. He wrote on CNN. He was a little more specific. He says, quote, Trump has made more than 20,000 misleading or false statements, according to the Washington Post. Okay, so first of all, you believe the Washington Post. That's fine. But what the Washington Post did is exactly what you said, Tim. Whenever Donald Trump would say, "Hey, this is we're in the midst of the our great economy. It's the greatest it's ever been." Okay, that's President Trump. He is Mr. Hyperbole. It's like when someone says that is the greatest pass in football history. You could have the Washington Post come back and go, "No, wait a second. That's not the greatest pass in football history. The greatest pass." But and so that's what they're doing with President Trump.
Right, I know, every day.
And they're adding to that the things they disagree with. And that's how they get this number. I'm with you, Fred. I don't believe that what Joe Lockhart is worried about is really that Trump is going to lie or mislead. And poor Joe Biden, who, by the way, has had to, in his past, admit to lying about his college career. He's been caught plagiarizing. I mean, this guy is a lie a minute.
He got arrested going to see Nelson Mandela.
Yes, lie.
That was not true, and that was proven immediately. He didn't have to backtrack from that.
Yes.
The media doesn't hold him responsible. They only hold Trump
right
responsible. So
I don't think that's what Joe Lockhart is worried
about. The Democrats, and I would be the same way if I were a Democrat, they're terrified at the idea of Joe Biden getting on a stage with Donald Trump in a debate.
And this is laying the groundwork. They are building the case for when Biden and Biden's team say, we're not debating this guy.
Mm-hmm. You're right. They're laying the groundwork. They're going to say, we refuse to debate a man who consistently lies over and over again. And so we're not going to legitimize him. This is what the Biden campaign would say, right? And he hadn't turned over his taxes or whatever. We're not going to legitimize this guy. He's an illegitimate president. Whatever you want to say, but you could put that out there and then say, therefore, Biden will not be debating.
This is what Joe Lockhart said in the rest of this CNN post that he had written. He said, Biden will undoubtedly take heat from Republicans and the media for skipping the debates. First of all, he's not going to take any heat from the media for skipping the debates. He goes on, but it's worth the risk,
right,
as trying to debate someone incapable of telling the truth. Joe Lockhart says Donald Trump is incapable of telling the truth.
Right.
Now, that's utter nonsense.
So therefore, don't debate him.
Don't debate him.
What they're really, and I don't agree with not debating. But I do. But if I were on this side, I would agree it would be a potential disaster to have Biden debate Trump. Therefore, I would not debate, and I would just take whatever fallout comes.
Yes.
And whatever criticism comes with not debating, to me, is better than putting him on stage and letting the whole campaign fall apart in an hour and a half.
And that's what this is for. This is to lower the damage from Biden saying, I'm not debating Trump. It's to set up the reasons, the rationale for not debating Trump. Well, I can't debate that guy. He's incapable.
I think that would be fine for the left, because especially since Biden is polling ahead of Trump.
Right.
5 to 10%. Now, again, that's if you believe the polls, folks. I'm just telling you what the polls say. I'm not saying I believe them necessarily, although there are some polls that are more reputable than others. But, yeah, I think they're setting this up, Fred, for Biden to get out of any kind of debate situation with President Trump.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And if anybody is going to call somebody on lying, President Trump could easily do this. Over and over again, Joe Biden has said that the president didn't move quickly enough, and that's why the pandemic spread in this country. Well, that's a bold-faced lie. Because remember when the president decided to stop flights coming in from China? Joe Biden said, it was because the president is racist. He's xenophobic.
Yeah.
And don't forget what Nancy Pelosi did when the president stopped flights from China. She went to Chinatown in San Francisco. No mask there on Nancy Pelosi. Hey, there's no problem down here. She was within 3 inches of everybody and denouncing what the president had done. See, that's the kind of thing that they know that President Trump would bring up in a debate, and they've got nowhere to go with that.
And right now, the media covers for Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi in their obvious hypocrisy, but you can't cover if everyone's watching that said in a debate.
Yes.
Right, right.
You can't cover that.
That's what I'm saying. The potential for a debate hurting Joe Biden greatly is itself great. And that's why I think that the Democrats will say we're not debating President Trump. I think you're right. They're laying the groundwork for that, and that's coming in the next month, I think.
Yeah, cuz they have to set up the times and the criteria for the debates and who's going, what networks are going to cover it. They have to.
Yeah, if you think you're leading, this is typical of any politician, Republican or Democrat, if you think you've got a big lead, you don't want to debate because you don't have anything to gain, right? That's been the way. Now, sometimes in a presidential race, you're almost forced to debate because people expect that, even if you are far behind, far ahead. So, anyway, I think that the risk of a debate hurting Biden is greater than the risk of him not doing a debate. And I think that's what the Democrats think. You're listening to today's issue. Did that make sense?
Yes.
Did that come out?
Yes.
It's Monday morning. I don't know if that came out right. But if I were advising Joe Biden, I would say don't do a debate. And you're going to get hit from it. For a while from Fox News, but there'll be a certain amount of Americans who don't understand why you're not doing it. But if he gets up there and says I'm running for mayor of Wilmington
or Senate,
I hope you vote for me. You know, then it's all over.
Right.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Should you want to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. I did see, Fred, where President Trump received a 50% approval rating, job approval rating by Rasmussen. Is that right?
Yeah, we're starting to see some indications of a switch that's going on. You know, this almost takes us back to 2016.
Switch in what?
Well, this takes us back to 2016. Remember all the polls were saying Hillary Clinton was going to win? Yeah. Well, there's something else going on out there that the mainstream media is not going to be reporting on. I happened to be watching another network Saturday morning. I was at the gym, and it was CNN. And they actually had a guest on who's been traveling through the swing states, all right? 18 swing states is what he said. 17 of the 18 where he's been doing polling, 17 of the 18 are going to Trump.
Wow.
Now,
this is someone doing
on CNN?
He was a guest on CNN.
Informal polling? Or is he doing actual scientific?
He's doing some, I guess it would be informal, but some of it, you know, with some structure to it.
I think he was at, well, the one guy I read about last week sounded very similar, but his was a trek across part of America where he was surveying people who were pumping their gas, or you know, at the McDonald's standing in line. It was sort of like that. Surveying America anyway.
But I think in the interview he said, as time has gone on, that people are starting to see that the president is doing everything that he can to deal with the pandemic. They are stop blaming him for people being unemployed. That he's not to be blamed for what's going on in the economy.
Also, the Democrats. Let's be honest; they don't have any. They don't have any solutions.
No,
right.
All they got is, and in fact, every other day, Joe Biden comes out with something he would do if he were president to address the coronavirus situation in America. And then the White House has to say, we've already been doing that since May.
Yeah.
You know, everything he's saying he would do as president, the president's already been
doing. Well, because there's a limited number of things you can
do.
Yeah.
So you think, Fred, that do you think that a majority of Americans are not blaming the president?
I think what's happening for the pandemic. But the other thing that's happening that's scaring Americans is what they're seeing in these big cities, these protests. And they're not buying the idea, for instance, in Portland. The left is saying, well, the reason the violence has been happening in Portland is because the president sent in people to guard the federal courthouse there. You know, like the Attorney General William Barr was, you know, before the House Judiciary Committee, where he was treated so badly last week. And they talked about these protests. And Attorney General Barr said, what do you expect us to do? We have a federal building that's under attack by these domestic terrorists, and you're saying we shouldn't send people in there? And by the way, the federal agents have backed off, and there were still protests this weekend in Portland. So they can't use that as an excuse. And so I think what's happening, this idea of defunding police departments, what we're seeing, I mean, that's scaring people.
Yeah, I agree. The lawlessness that people are seeing in the streets and hearing about, the anarchy, the violence, the mayhem, and the increase in violence that are in big cities all over across America because of the attack on police is backfiring, I think, with the the majority of American people are worried about that.
Right.
Yes.
And they're worried about that spreading to their town and their community.
Mm-hmm.
Gun sales are up dramatically. Yes.
Even amongst first-time gun owners.
Right.
You get these people who are just buying guns for the first time, taking gun safety training because they're worried.
They're worried. And so I think President Trump is, calls himself the law and order president. Joe Biden is the defund or diminish the police president, because that's the position of the far left.
Right.
So that's the one he's adopted.
Yeah.
So I think on balance, that helps the president.
Yeah.
And that I think that's reflected in the polling numbers that are changing somewhat. I saw the president up 2 points in North Carolina in one survey. Again, folks, this is everybody's got their own opinion about the opinion.
Yes.
About the opinion polls that are out there, or the surveys, or the presidential polls that are going on, but I think that the law and order aspect of the president's campaign helps him.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. And there's one other element here too. I think people are starting to realize that Joe Biden is going to be on the puppet strings of Bernie Sanders and the far left in the Democratic Party, the AOCs. I mean, this Green New Deal that Biden and talked about there a few weeks ago, he's basically talking about dismantling the fossil fuel industry in this country. Now, that scares a lot of people.
Yeah.
You stop to think about the impact of that. And they moved the date, what, to 2030 or something like that now, that they want, you know, the carbon emissions, that sort of thing. I'll tell you what, you want to see gas prices at $4 and $5 a gallon?
Are you saying, because it was a 15-year plan, basically, like you said, to dismantle the fossil fuel industry. Are you saying they moved it up to 2030?
Well, in order to start implementing it and to have it in place by 2035, you have to start making decisions now.
Yeah. Wow. That you know, the media, what the media is doing for the most part, when I talk about the media, the exception of Fox and some other alternative outlets, what the mainstream media is doing is almost criminal in covering all this up. Just absolutely criminal. Mm. I mean, they should be hammering this new Green New Deal and exposing all the flaws in it and the destructiveness that is going to wreak in this country. You talk about the coronavirus setting us back. Wait till you follow that up with a Biden presidency and the AOC wing of the Democratic Party instituting these draconian restrictions. that are present in this Green New Deal.
You know, there's a lot of talk about that Trump is losing the support of women who live in the suburbs. Stop and think about this for a minute, folks. Those soccer moms, as some people call them, who take their kids to the games, they start looking at what Joe Biden wants to do just in this incident of the Green New Deal. You mean I'm going to be paying $5 a gallon to fill up my van to take the kids to the baseball games and the soccer games?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, even liberals, when they start hearing that their taxes are going to go up and that that Joe Biden wants to increase corporate taxes again, that's going to result in layoffs, and he wants to open up dealings again with China, with Iran. That's part of his foreign policy changes he wants to bring in.
Well, listen, $5 a gallon, that will be that people will look back at that, longing for the days of $5 a gallon gas.
Yeah,
it's going to go up higher than that.
What do you mean? If you get a Green New Deal,
this Green New Deal, it is. Well, you're talking about dismantling the fossil fuel industry. That $5 a gallon is, like I said, going to be a dream. It's going to go through the roof.
Yeah. Well, you shut down the industry in this country. That makes us dependent.
But that's
again
what Joe Biden and the Democrats are for.
That's
what
right.
You're saying.
He wants us to be dependent on the Arab country oil again.
Well, I just think they're going to demand that the automakers produce all electric vehicles. Now, maybe there's a shot for that, but the expense for the American people to try to switch over. Yeah. This would be a disaster. I mean, it would completely dislocate our economy.
What about that thing that George Jetson used to fly around? you think that's an option somewhere with Elon Musk? Elon Musk?
Yeah, maybe in 100 years, maybe 150 years.
So you don't
years.
Think that's going to come in the next three or
no.
4 years?
No.
You're going to have that?
And be assured, kind of like, you know, the city council up in Minneapolis. You know, they want to get rid of all the police, but I don't know what the bill is already. They have hired private security, for themselves.
It's insanity.
You know what happens under the Green New Deal? Joe Biden and everybody else will still have fossil fuels for their jets that the taxpayers will pay for.
Right.
Let's be aware of that.
Quite frankly, I need to keep reminding folks of this. These positions that the Democrats have taken, have staked out, are just President Obama or Bill Clinton would not be acceptable to them. You know what I'm saying? The party of today,
right,
as represented by AOC and Bernie Sanders and so forth. Let me just remind you that the Democrats are for no borders.
Right.
Really, that's all I need to know. Okay, if I'm a voter. They're for no borders. And for paying health insurance for everybody who comes here. Now, I would say come here illegally, but there's not going to be, the word illegally is about to be gone. They're for people being allowed, the Democrats, not all of them. Joe Biden would at least like to give them a Pizza Hut coupon as they come across, and say, please come back and register with us if you get a chance. But I'm just saying, think about no stopping anybody who wants to come here and then paying for their health insurance.
Right.
The insanity of that. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.